10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, the program that examines the news through the lens of biblical and spiritual truth. I'm Nathan Liel, and the website is watchmanscry.com. And today, we're going to continue the same direction that we began in our last program with the addition of my lovely wife, Donna, who came on board in the last program and helped us out in our expose of Donald Trump. And I asked her to come back on because you, the listeners, have overwhelmingly let us know that you enjoyed her coming on, bringing a lady's point of view, and I want to thank every one of you that wrote and emailed us and let us know that you enjoyed the last program, because it was a little bit of a test, I guess you could say. Donna was a little bit nervous, and that kind of sounds weird, being that she's my wife and she's involved with all of the contact that she does here in this ministry to help us. She told me she was a little bit nervous, and I didn't know that. Donna, is that true? Were you nervous when you came on last time?
Yes, I was actually quite nervous.
Why?
Well, if anybody is my Facebook friend, they already know this about me, but I am a bit of an introvert.
That's true. You are an introvert, even though you have very strong opinions that you make known. So does doing this program go against your grain? Do you have butterflies?
I just was nervous. Usually when I do something new for the first time, I tend to get nervous. So I was nervous from that viewpoint. But after I was all said and done, and then I heard the program, I was actually happy with it.
Good. And ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your comments. By the way, for those of you that were wondering, some of you wrote and asked if this means that I'm not going to do sermons anymore, or if you're not going to hear some of the other things that I did when I go solo. No, those things are not changing. I'm still going to be producing sermons, for such a time as this, messages. I'm working on two of them right now, so those will be coming. And then the old staple show that began this ministry so long ago, the Watchman's Cry program, I'm also working on a message that will utilize that format. So here at Watchman's Cry, I have several formats that I release. In case you're wondering, it's the Watchman's Cry program, News from the Wall, which talks about news, and that's where Donna's going to help, which also analyzes world events and then brings spiritual applications to world events. And then we have the regular sermons. So those things are still coming. I'm just letting you guys know, so in case anyone was concerned that you were losing some of the things that you love. No, ladies and gentlemen, you will not lose. We're just gaining another point of view from my lovely wife, Donna, which I value and I appreciate, because when I've done programs in the past, there were times where I wish that Donna would share. So we're going to go ahead and finish, and let's just let the audience know what we're going to talk about. Right out of the gate, Donna, we're going to talk about a little more about the candidates. We're going to discuss the Republican candidates. There's a lot of things going on in the world. Which one do you concentrate on? For those that are awake and those that know what time it is, it's an exciting time. We are also living in very perilous times. And for the most part, our listeners that are out there, our listeners are smart, and that's why they're listening to this program, because they want to know what's going on. So, Donna, we talked about Trump in the last program. What we presented was not made up. We used sound bites from him, his own lips. And ladies and gentlemen,
and we weren't telling anyone who to vote for either, because what we were doing is laying bare the facts. And we will do that with any candidate. We are just laying the facts out on the table for everyone to see.
And is that something that a Christian should do?
Yes, a Christian should certainly be doing that. They should do that with everything that comes into their lives, and especially with politicians.
You know, Donna, I am reminded of the passage of Scripture from 1 Thessalonians 5:21. that says prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. If we were to look up that word prove in the Greek, it comes from the Greek word dokimazo, which means to test, to examine, to scrutinize and see whether it is genuine or not. And ladies and gentlemen, that's from the Bible. The Bible tells us as Christians, we need to always be examining everything. And it says that, 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, examine all things, test all things, and hold fast to that which is good. So it is wise, and it is our duty as Christians to examine the candidates. And, you know, folks, where else are you going to hear a scrutinizing critique of what we're facing in light of what time it is? And that's what we're doing here. Donna, that's what we're doing. We're scrutinizing and we're examining the candidates for the benefit of the listeners. This information is to benefit you, ladies and gentlemen, so that you can be informed, because these things are going to affect all of us. If we are in the end times, if you are a remnant Christian, I know that the majority of you know that we are. You know what time it is. You know we're under judgment. You know that we're in the end times. The days of Revelation are upon us. The tribulation period is upon us. And if that is the case, that means the beast is upon us. And if the beast is upon us, Donna, how many years till the tribulation starts? If we were to ask our listeners, you know, one by one, how long do you think it is? Some would say a year. Some would say 2, 3 years, 5 years, soon. Some would say we're already there, right? If all of those are true, that means that any politician involved in our lives right now is going to play a role in the coming reality of
yes,
the beast.
And even a Republican could be part of this or is part of this.
Now, Donna, does behavior matter of a politician? If they're a candidate right now, does their behavior matter? I brought to the table the behavior of Donald Trump, and we posted in the second hour some disturbing sound bites from Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard it, go to my website, watchmanscry.com. It's called Donald Trump and the Future of America. But I have sound bites that involve what he plans to do with the wall, his economic plan, who he wants to get as secretaries to help him in his cabinet. I have sound bites of what he believes in the Constitution, how he feels about some of the established laws regarding the Constitution and freedoms and punishments and police state surveillance. We laid it all on the table and we presented it with his own voice. And then, Donna, we finished up with an issue that has to do with his behavior regarding his morals. And morals matter. Do they?
Well, you know, they mattered when Clinton was in office. So I think they should matter when a Republican is in office also.
Because they illustrate. You will know them by
their fruits.
By their fruit. So if someone hears Trump say, Joe Citizen, I'm going to surveil you. I'm going to bring this policy that's going to spy on everybody. We're going to control the internet. That's the truth. The only way to navigate is by knowing the truth and having the light shine on the truth. Now, the light is the Bible. It shines our path. But as it shines our path, it should also shine on the things that are in front of us. Right now, we have an election in front of us.
We do.
It's pretty important. So let's get to it. The primary for South Carolina took place. And again, Donna, let's make it real clear for the listeners. We're not telling them who to vote for. We had a few people email and they said, Nathan, okay, so you told us about Trump. So who do I vote for? Ladies and gentlemen, that's between you and your conscience. All we are supplying is the information. So where does it stand now? The results are in for South Carolina. And also the Nevada election took place.
For the Democrat.
For the Democrat. And Hillary won Nevada, Donna. But
it wasn't a landslide.
It was within 3 or 4 points. What, 50-something to 49?
I think it was 47 to 53.
It wasn't that far apart. It was fairly close. So whoever ends up winning on the Democratic side is going to have to face off with the Republican rhinoceros that's going to be bulldozing. The Republicans are going to win the election, Donna. I fully believe it. So what our listeners probably are interested in is wondering which one to vote for. Now, after the primaries are over, we're going to have the choice. There won't be a handful left. After the front runner wins, then our listeners are then going to have to decide if they want to vote for the front runner, and that's going to be a hard thing. And later on, we'll talk about that, because I know that's not easy either. You and I have privately talked about it.
Our philosophy is go in with your eyes wide open. Never go in with your hand over your eyes, just hoping for the best. We need to also go forward and know what to expect, not just on the positive side, but also on the negative side, okay, so that we're not taken, you know, we're not surprised by what comes.
Okay, so where are we? All the precincts have reported, and here's the results. Donald Trump won, as you know by now, if you've read the news already. He won with 32.5% of the vote, and then coming in second was Rubio, and then Ted Cruz came in third. And look how close that was, Donna. Rubio was 22.5, Cruz was 22.3. They were around 1,100, 1,091 votes separated them. And then in fourth place was Jeb Bush. He got 7.8% of the vote. And then John Kasich, 7.6. And then Ben Carson, 7.2. Now, since the results have come in, Jeb Bush has bowed out.
Yep. We are done with our Bush presidencies.
Does that officially mean the Bush dynasty is over? I don't know.
No, there's a son.
Or he could run in 2020. Or he could be picked as the vice president. Yeah, right. No, that's not going to happen. So Bush is out. We're down to Trump, Rubio, and Cruz. And according to the talking heads, Fox News, CNN, and the others, they're already projecting that it's going to be a three-way race between Trump, Rubio, and Cruz. Kasich is not quitting yet, and neither is Ben Carson. So, you know, for the benefit of the listeners, Donna, we got a few emails, and they said, can you tell us about some of the other guys? So we're going to do that, and let's start out with John Kasich. And Donna, I know that he's down to barely 6, 7, 8% of the vote, but he is still running.
He is.
The interesting thing about Kasich is that he said some things during the debate. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear what he talked about. So, ladies and gentlemen, even though he may not win, listen to this, and then I want to make a comment about it on the other side. Listen to this.
There's a difference between Iraq, where you have Sunni, Shia, and Kurds put together after First World War by the Western powers. It doesn't work. It needs to break up into three parts. And finally, you, in regard to Syria, understand that Assad is an ally of Iran who wants to extend that Shia radicalism all the way across the Middle East. He has to go. And for the Russians, frankly, it's time that we punch the Russians in the nose. They've gotten away with too much in this world, and we need to stand up against them, not just there, but also in Eastern Europe, where they threaten some of our most precious allies.
Let's continue with Russia right now.
Donna, punch Russia in the nose?
Because Russia is in Syria attacking ISIS, something we should be doing, but we're not. So we need to stop them because they're getting too big for their britches. Is that what he's saying?
But to say openly, ladies and gentlemen of America, vote for me as president. And by the way, we need to punch Russia in the nose. If he became president, what does that translate into?
World War III. There will only be World War III if we go to war against Russia.
I'm assuming he's not concerned if it leads to war, but that's what he said. Now, also, in this soundbite we just played, did you catch what he said about the Sunnis? He said Iraq has the Sunnis and the Shiites, and they don't get along, and we need to... Donna, let me play this again, ladies and gentlemen.
And the Kurds.
And the Kurds. Three groups. Listen to what he said again. Let me play that. Watch this, folks.
There's a difference between Iraq, where you have Sunni, Shia, and Kurds put together after First World War by the Western powers. It doesn't work. It needs to break up into three parts. And finally, you...
Iraq needs to break up into three parts. Where did he get that information? Is that just something he came up with on his own, being a governor of Ohio? Where did that come from?
Interesting you should ask. Actually, if you go to the Council on Foreign Relations website, you could find an article called The Three-State Solution. It was written by Leslie Gelb back in 2003. She states in this article that the best choice for fixing the problem with Iraq is to create three separate states, one with the Shiites, one with the Sunnis, and one with the Kurds. Then we can focus all of our soldiers and our manpower on helping out the Kurds and the Shiites, because the Sunnis are the ones that hate us the most, apparently. And they would leave the Sunnis in a region of Iraq that has no oil, so they would just be out in the little triangle of Iraq, and they would focus on helping the Kurds and the Shiites.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to read this article, Donna, where is it found? The CFR, is that CFR, yeah. Or you can just Google it.
CFR.org.
And then it's called what?
The Three-State Solution. I'm sure if you just type that into the keyword search, it'll come right up.
And it's by Leslie Gelb, G-E-L-B. Mm-hmm. It was written in 2003. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a neocon warmongering policy.
And the strange thing about this region, and we set up leaders and then we topple them, and then we set up leaders and then we topple them.
But what's the reason they want to do this? It gets down to oil, controlling the oil. You have three smaller states. They're easier to control. But, you know, if we were to actually then visit the three groups, the Kurds hate Turkey. They don't like Turkey, but Turkey is a member of NATO. And right now, Turkey is bombing the Kurds along its border, and the Kurds are hiding in Syria. So, see, none of this makes sense, Donna. It's like we have our hands in the cookie jar of each one of these groups, but they all hate each other, and we're also taking part in arming the different groups, and they're fighting one another. This is insanity, but this is the present temperature of the world. Getting back to the candidates, the thing that is so difficult about this decision is if a Christian were to go to a website and type in their voting record or their political leanings or their beliefs, it would bring up that Kasich believes in the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. He's against abortion. He's against gay marriage.
Yeah.
So all of that looks good.
It does.
And the average evangelical Christian, that's what they find.
Yes.
It's easy to campaign with talking points. That is the job of a politician, Donna, to have talking points, to have a placard with a motto on it, with a little logo. So we need to at least have this on the table. If you vote for Kasich, just know this, ladies and gentlemen.
He is interested in creating World War III.
Now, also another thing to add is that if Kasich isn't worried about starting World War III with Russia, and if he is a neocon because he talked about breaking Iraq into three parts, mm-hmm. it makes you wonder the influence that he had before he ran for president or during his run for president, or was it an orientation? Do these politicians, the insiders, I'm not saying Trump did it because he says he's not an insider, so let's assume he's not, but Rubio, Cruz, Bush, Kasich, did they all sit in one room and, or one by one, were they visited by the handlers, the puppeteers, the guy behind the curtain or the men behind the curtain? And are they oriented with what is expected of them if they win? Because it's interesting. We are hearing the same neoconservative type policy snippets and comments and rhetoric from Rubio, Cruz. Now that Bush is out, he doesn't matter. But why do they speak the same language? That's interesting. So, ladies and gentlemen, something to keep in mind. In my opinion, Donna, I think that somehow something's going on that makes them speak that language, because Kasich is talking CFR stuff.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it stems from where the money comes from. You know, anyone who runs for a campaign, be it governor or senator or Congress, they need to get funding from somewhere. The people that fund them are going to tell them what they should be thinking.
So, Donna, you're saying that there is a conspiracy where the politicians are groomed and influenced, and
I wouldn't even call it a conspiracy. I think they are piloted to some degree. I mean, just think of any movie that you have seen where somebody goes to Washington, D.C. Even in the most mundane comical movie, there is grooming going on.
So Kasich speaks the language, the neocon language. So ladies and gentlemen, when the primary comes to your state and you're wondering which one's the lesser of the other evil and you're curious, this is what we have concluded up to this point. Kasich speaks the language of the PNAC document, the Project for a New American Century, the North American Union, New World Order. He speaks it. Now, regarding Marco Rubio, let's talk about Rubio, Donna. His logo, his motto,
A New American Century.
A New American Century. It's on there. You know, I'm amazed. I was watching the election results. The cameras were visiting the different candidates. Rubio has that big logo. It says Marco Rubio, a new American. It's right there. A new American century.
In your face.
In our face, ladies and gentlemen. Make note of his banner, of his logo. That says a lot. And for the individuals who are wondering, well, what does he believe? What's his platform? The platform can be summed up in the New American Century. If some of you are not familiar with that, you can do a search for the word Project for a New American Century. And that was think tank that was formed by Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, Rumsfeld, and some of the other neocons that worked for George Bush in the late 90s, and they came up with a plan for keeping America the number one superpower, the empire, as America went into the millennium. And this was done in the late 90s, and the plan was, in order to keep America the number one world power, certain things had to take place, certain foreign policy had to be maintained, things had to happen to the military, which included a transformation of the U.S. military, meaning all new equipment, all new toys, all new technology, more weapons, newer sci-fi modern weapons. And it basically laid out the script of how to keep America number one. And by the way, the paper's called Rebuilding America's Defenses, so you can also do a search for that. And it spells it all out. And the white paper says that if the United States started investing in new weaponry, transforming its military, our allies would be bothered and made uncomfortable because they would ask the question, hey, what are you doing? What's up?
Why
are
you? As well as our enemies.
As well as the enemies. And then the article goes on to say, in order for that to take place, we needed a new Pearl Harbor event.
Mm-hmm. This was all pre-9/11?
Pre-9/11. And it also said the United States needs to be able to fight in two theaters of war at the same time. And it also said that the new phase, the new method, the new direction for the U.S. military was going to include cyber weaponry, and the cyber war would occur in the information area of the world. Psychological warfare and social engineering, and the thing that we know about from the RAND Corporation as far as psychological social engineering of the world. And then get into Tavistock.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Mind control. And it's not mystical like it sounds. It's mind control through what they put out in front of us.
Which includes all the areas.
Mm-hmm.
All the areas that people depend on just to live, which includes entertainment, Hollywood, music, the internet. And it also includes, now this came out after the Snowden disclosure. It included that there would be, this is from Snowden, boiler rooms with government employees on it. Government.
Watching and listening.
Participating. Trolls.
Mm-hmm.
From the boiler room, participating on the internet, in forums, blogs, and social media. So the war that is taking place is the war for the mind to steer public opinion, and that's going on. This goes back to the Project for a New American Century. So this paper, Donna, is one of the foundational tenets that the neocons follow even to this day.
Yeah.
So those words, Project for a New American Century, Pax Americana is what they called it. And then we look at Marco Rubio. His logo says...
The New American Century.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's laid out right there. Now...
Well, and one of the aspects of it also is the union.
The union of the United States, Canada, and Mexico, which means erasing the borders from above and below. And when you erase borders, what do you have from Mexico?
You have people coming across the border. You have immigration.
And now that you brought that up, Donna, Marco Rubio, he is part of the what?
He's part of the Gang of Eight.
And what was that?
The Gang of Eight was a group of Republicans and Democrats who got together in order to try and create an amnesty bill that would basically make all illegals legal.
Amnesty for all the illegals.
Immigration reform. It was the CIR bill. It was from 2013.
And did it pass?
And no, it did not pass.
But Marco Rubio participated in that.
Well, there's only eight, so yeah.
Four and four. Four.
Four Democrats, four Republicans.
Now, one of the other Republicans was John McCain.
Mm-hmm.
The other Republican wannabe from...
Neocon.
So they want to erase the borders. They're trying to get this North American Union activated. And if this Gang of Eight amnesty bill were to pass, it would legalize 30 million illegals. The United States has a little over, 300 and something million citizens?
Yes.
So 10%, Donna, 10% of the American population that is now illegal would be made legal. And here's the other thing that that would do. Illegal aliens, for the most part, vote Democrat. So if this amnesty bill passed, they would be adding 30 million Democratic voters to the rolls. That would tip the scales toward the liberals, to the progressives. I don't understand how Marco Rubio could have participated in that. And
that's
now,
where the term neocon comes into play.
Neoconservative.
They're not really conservative. They're fake conservatives or rhinos, as they're known. Republicans in name only.
There's websites that you can type in and it says who the candidates are. And the websites explain the issues, their voting record.
Right.
But it doesn't explain their ideology, what they want, what their goal is, their influence, what the handlers are telling them they want out of their...
Or the road they took to get to where they are.
Or what the handlers expect mm-hmm. out of their victory, if they happen to win. So Rubio is a neocon. He's a global New World Order, North American Union neocon.
But the funny thing is, from what I understand, is that he did not start out as a neocon. He actually started out as a conservative Republican.
That's exactly right, Donna. When he ran for Senate, he made promises that he was going to fight illegal immigration, and then he did a spin. He did a 180 the minute he got in office. They got a hold of him. It seems to be the regular routine.
Yes. Because in my experience, most Hispanic Americans or Latino Americans are not interested in necessarily having full-on amnesty because their jobs are being taken away also. So being that Rubio is, he's Latino.
From Cuba, I believe.
Yeah, so he probably had that same mentality that, you know, as a Latino American, I am not for amnesty because I had to come in the hard way. My family did. And now look at what's happening.
He did a flip-flop. What got a hold of him? He waffled. It's going to be a three-man race, they're saying now, between Trump, Rubio, and Cruz. Rubio, this is the information on him. So if he happens to win, Donna, if he wins, he's going to be an amnesty president, and he's going to push for what his logo says.
And expect open borders, but not open borders. Like, we can't just go to Canada, but anyone from South America can come up through Mexico.
Well, the wall is going to keep us in. Well, if Trump wins, if Rubio wins, I don't know if there will be a wall. They'll probably put a welcome mat and a red carpet to welcome the illegals. So, ladies and gentlemen, based on what's in plain sight before all of us, Rubio, New American Century, if Rubio wins, Donna, I could see the North American Union making vast advances.
Yes, I can too.
And also, he's going to be a neoconservative PNACer. So the New American Century also promotes war in the Middle East. Also, like Kasich said, breaking up Iraq into several parts and also going into Iran. So I foresee that happening if Rubio wins.
Now, I don't see any of our candidates not being for war except for maybe Carson.
Maybe Carson. But he doesn't stand a chance. He's came in last. I don't know when he's going to bow out.
Yeah, if Bush bowed out at 7.8% and Carson only has 7.2 and Kasich 7.6, I don't see how much longer those two can stay in the race.
So Kasich and Carson would be out. So it is going to be a three-man race. So this is what makes it interesting, Donna. In my opinion, where I am now, mm-hmm. I believe that Trump's going to become president and he's going to have to pick a vice president. Is it going to be Rubio or Cruz or some other business friend of his? We don't know.
Maybe he'll tap Ivanka to be his vice president.
Now, Donna, that's interesting. Ivanka is 34 right now.
Yes.
So she doesn't qualify.
At this moment. But when's her birthday?
When is her birthday?
I believe it's October 30th.
Ivanka's birthday is right before Halloween?
Yeah, I think she was born on
Halloween 30. Baby?
Yeah.
Wow. You can have fun with that one, ladies and gentlemen. Almost the night before Halloween. So she was born October 30th. She's 34. So, okay, if we do the math, this coming October 30th, she turns 35.
Yes. So she would be 35 for 9 days before the November election because it's November 8th this year.
That would be weird.
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just...
That would be something, right?
Yeah. It would really be the Trump dynasty then, wouldn't it?
Or is there another son that could...
He depends on Ivanka, not his son.
Okay, now... Donald's kids are, he has several from different wives, but Ivanka is from Ivana.
Ivanka and Eric are from Ivana.
And Eric is 3 years younger.
Yeah.
He's
so
32.
He won't be old enough.
Well, what about Junior?
Well, I never hear about Junior.
Donald Trump Jr., he's 38 years old.
So he and Ivana had 3 children.
So we have Donald Trump. I believe he's going to be the president. He's going to win based on what we have so far. Based on the direction, based on the momentum, I mean, do you see it turning out any different?
I don't see how it could. I mean, I don't see Cruz or Rubio, either one, dropping out till the very end.
It's shaping up. I think Sanders is going to win on the Democratic side because Hillary has too much dirt.
Unless they buy her the vote, but, you know.
If they let Hillary win the Democratic side, she's going to get stomped because Trump would destroy her.
Benghazi, that's all you got to say.
The email scandal, email gate, Benghazi, there's just so much dirt on her. There's no way. So we're going to have the three-way race between Rubio and then Ted Cruz. So let's talk about Cruz for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, to get an understanding from him. Ted Cruz is an interesting candidate because there's been a few good articles written about him. There's one from News with Views that was written by Marilyn Barnwell, and it's called, Is Ted Cruz the North American Union Candidate? And Donna, in this article, she brought some very important things to the table, and it's some of the things that we have talked about already in the last program. We mentioned that Heidi Cruz, Ted Cruz's wife, she's an employee with Goldman Sachs on the executive committee, we might add. And since she's affiliated with Goldman Sachs, Goldman Sachs has played a vital role over the years, and the alumni of Goldman Sachs end up being Treasury secretaries. After the crash of 08, we had the bailout for the banks, and Goldman Sachs benefited. It trickled down to a lot of the other banks, but Goldman Sachs is one of the core entities.
It's a stepping stone for a lot of people.
Yes. So Heidi Cruz is involved in Goldman Sachs. She is also a member of the CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, and she was a part of the task force that wrote one of the PNAC documents for the New American Century.
Yes, she was.
And the name of that report was called Building a North American Community Committee, and that has to do with the North American Union. And I've said this often, Donna, when we look at the Bible in Revelation 13, and it's where the beast had seven heads and 10 horns, the 10 horns have been interpreted by a variety of different interpretations, and we've heard some of them.
Yes.
It's the Caesars, it's the hills of Rome, it's a localized region of Rome. But in my opinion, with where I am now, the 10 horns can be interpreted as what we see occurring as the New World Order globalist elite goal of having 10 economic regions or unions in the world. That's the eventual goal.
Yes.
We have the EU, the European Union, and now we have the African Union in development, South American Union. And those things, by the way, are working. The African Union, they have a website, I believe. And then there's the Middle Eastern Union, the Asia Union, and when we go to North America, the United States has not done that yet because it's being held back. So some people on the news have even taken it so far. For example, Fox News, O'Reilly, they have insulted some of those who are awake. The vigilant ones saying it doesn't exist. There's no such thing. But the North American Union is on paper.
As their goal. It is their goal.
It is the desire, yes, of the Council on Foreign Relations. So Heidi Cruz wrote a paper building the North American community, and that idea is to merge us with Canada and Mexico, to have one economic union. And by the way, in order to get there, we have to have a financial crash, a financial disruption. The phoenix will rise from the ashes, and those who are a part of the dark elements of the world have this goal to bring this about. So Heidi Cruz, she has written papers on this. She is married to Ted Cruz. Is that a coincidence? Is that a little bump in her resume that will not influence Ted Cruz?
I would say no. The CFR has huge influence in politics.
Do they pick presidents?
Well, I don't know if they actually pick the president, but they pick the candidates.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can read this article. It's called, Is Ted Cruz the North American Union Candidate?
There's a lot of things that I could say about him. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just put it like this. The deeper I went, the more I dug about some things going on behind the scenes with Cruz, led me to some rabbit holes and to some places that I didn't expect to arrive in, but they have to do with the church's influence behind Cruz. Ted Cruz's father is a pastor. His name is Rafael Cruz, and he is part of the Dominionist Kingdom Now New Apostolic Reformation, Seven Mountains Gospel. Now, Donna, a lot of our listeners are familiar with that because of the fiasco that we witnessed a few years ago with Todd Bentley. This group, C. Peter Wagner and Patricia King and Rick Joyner and Kim Clement, Lance Wallnau, there's a variety of names. These individuals have been prophesying that Ted Cruz is going to be involved in politics and is going to rise up. In fact, there was a service where another one of these false teachers, let me just say that, Larry Huck. Larry Huck is a pastor of New Beginnings Church. He used to be located in Portland, Oregon, and I have actually attended one of his services. Donna, you remember we attended one of his services almost 20 years ago when it was located in Portland, Oregon. And back then, we saw that the guy was a fraud because he talked about the prosperity gospel. He had stated that, well, he had just gotten back from visiting a poor, poverty-stricken village in Africa, and his entire sermon was explaining to the congregation in Portland that he was impressed with the poverty-stricken African church because they had bought their pastor a Rolls Royce. And even though the people lived in grass huts, they understood that they had to take care of their pastor and give him wealth. And if the poverty-stricken third world churchgoers in Africa could take care of their pastor to that level, then the American church needed to do that also for him. So it was kind of a teaching slash chastisement slash gripe out that you guys need to give me more wealth. So we tasted it back then. We witnessed it back then. Larry Huck is a prosperity charlatan. And he moved his church to Irving, Texas, I understand. And he had Rafael Cruz as a guest. Rafael Cruz is Ted Cruz's father, who is also a part of this Kingdom Now, Seven Mountain, Dominionist heresy. And, well, let me just play a clip of what he says right here. Folks, as you listen to this, I am flabbergasted that people can fall for this and believe it, but let me just play this.
The pastor referred to Proverbs 13:22 a little while ago, which says that the wealth of the wicked is stored for the righteous. And it is through the kings anointed to take dominion that that transfer of wealth is going to occur. God, even though he's sovereign, even though he's omnipotent, he doesn't just let it rain off the sky. He's going to use people to do it. There are some of you, as a matter of fact, I will dare to say the majority of you, that your anointing is not an anointing as priest. It's an anointing as king. And God has given you an anointing to go to the battlefield. And what's the battlefield? The battlefield is the marketplace. To go to the marketplace and occupy the land. To go to the marketplace and take dominion. That dominion is over every area. Society, education, government, economics. But there is a second anointing. And it's the anointing of kings. Kings were anointed to take dominion. Kings were anointed to go to war, win the war, and bring the spoils of war to the priest.
This is a heresy, ladies and gentlemen, of the prosperity gospel on steroids. Because what it does is it says that by force, the church is going to just take all the wealth. The church is going to own everything, control everything. It's going to be a worldwide theocracy, and there will be representatives in these seven mountain categories to make this happen. Now, according to the Bible, in the end times, we can read that before Jesus comes back, the world's going to be in a mess. The world's going to be fallen. The world's going to be full of sin. Perilous times will come. A great delusion will come. We will have the beast rising up, the false prophet. We will see a movement of great deception. A lot of people are going to fall away. And because the church is in a mess and in a lukewarm state, God is going to have to purge the church before he can come back. The church will need purging and humbling. The true remnant of God will have to go into the wilderness to rediscover the altar and death to the flesh and death to indulgence. Dominionism promotes indulgence, having everything. But when we look at the scriptures in Hosea chapter 5, it says that God is going to tear. He's going to purge. He's going to allow his children to go through the fire like silver through the fire so that we can be refined. We can find this pattern throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that purging must occur first. Also, judgment will come to the house of God first before the world. Judgment to the house of God means purging. It means a humbling. It means a stripping away. It means that the old salt that is no longer useful has to be poured out. So this Kingdom Now theology is a polar opposite of what we can find in Scripture, but that is what is the most popular because it appeals to the flesh. Now, Larry Huck, the charlatan preacher that I just mentioned a moment ago, after Rafael Cruz spoke, did you hear him say that the church needs to take the spoils of war? That's another thing that dominionists believe. War is necessary to take the booty, to take the wealth. So if we were to see a representative of the Kingdom Now gospel in a political office or as the president. Let's take it to that level. If the president of the United States was influenced by a Kingdom Now preacher, they would be influenced that war is necessary and the United States needs to go obtain the bounty, which means war, ladies and gentlemen. And that is a dangerous theology. Now, after Cruz was finished speaking, Larry Huck the Charlatan said some things about Cruz. And this was recorded in 2013. Listen to this.
Before I ever met Ted, I met Raphael. And I knew that if the son was like the dad, we could trust him to be our senator. Amen. But here's what it came to me. Ted will be our next senator.
Amen.
And I gave Raphael a word the other day. I said, the Senate's just the beginning. It's going to be much higher. He's going to become senator, and I believe someday either Supreme Court justice or vice president.
Okay, Larry Huck said something very interesting. He's going to be the vice president. Did you catch that? Donna, it makes you wonder if these people are told things behind the scenes. And I want to just visit that for a moment. If they knew this in 2013, that Cruz was going to become senator and then the vice president, then he was chosen already by the powers that be for that to occur. And if that's true, then does that mean he's going to be Donald Trump's vice president? The Dominionists take the passage from Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, and they say that this is part of the prophecy about what God is going to do in the end times. Let me just read it. It said, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." And then they take the Revelation 7 mountains, and they have come up with
A new interpretation
of seven areas.
They call them the mountains of society.
And what are those?
They would be family, religion, arts, entertainment, media, government, education, and business.
So this prophecy, Donna, is being mishandled. And let's go back to 2008, the summer of 2008, June, Lakeland, Florida.
I remember 2008, June.
Todd Bentley.
I remember Todd Bentley.
Todd Bentley was a Dominionist New Apostolic Reformation representative. And
he was crowned.
Well, they had a service. By the way, another part of this belief system is that the New Apostolic Reformation believes that there are going to be 12 apostles that will be anointed in the end times to represent the church. And when Todd Bentley was in his shenanigans during that revival, Donna, the New Apostolic representatives showed up in Lakeland, Florida, and they anointed Todd Bentley as the 12th apostle.
I remember that.
And do you remember one of the ladies? She started...
The snake lady?
Yeah, her head started going back and forth. And
she was hissing.
It was horrible, right? It was... Ladies and gentlemen, do you remember that? You might not have if you go back that far. But one of the prophets, quote unquote, or a prophetess, her head started going back and forth, and you couldn't even see it. It was going back and forth so fast, Donna, and she was hissing like a snake.
Yes, and speaking at the same time. It was quite creepy.
It was horrible. If you were to witness that event, Donna, there were demons around that whole mess. That thing was full of Satan. And Todd Bentley, it came forward after he had done the revival for 3 months, it came forward that the assistant that was helping him baptize all of the people, he was shacking up with her.
Yes.
He was having an affair with her.
While he was punching people in the gut and kicking them in the face.
And when Todd Bentley prayed for people, he would lay hands on them, and instead of saying, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost," he would say, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and Bam."
And I don't know who Bam is, but I thought that was a spice in that cooking show.
By Emeril, yes.
By Emeril.
And then he would also lay hands on people and say, "Fire," and they would fall on the ground and start convulsing.
And scream.
That they were burning.
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, that fiasco was so disturbing, but what it did was it revealed who the New Apostolic Reformation really is, because those people showed up and they endorsed a demon-possessed person who was also an adulterer, and it was a mess. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're involved in that movement, please reanalyze it through the mind of the Spirit, because...
Come out from among it.
That thing's messed up. Donna, they seek signs. They have conferences on how to talk to angels and how to meditate. Todd Bentley was teaching people how to astral project, leave their body.
Yes. as if it were something God would approve of.
He said that there was an angel that was appearing to him at night in his hotel.
A female angel.
A female angel named Emma, and he tattooed her name,
among others, on his body.
That thing was a mess. I believe Andrew Strom, a brother from New Zealand, has
strongly come out against this and exposed it for what it really is.
He was a part of that, the Kansas City Prophets. That thing has origins that go back that is just full of deception. Andrew Strom has done several videos. He's written books about that thing. But that movement is very deceptive, and that is a portion of today's end-time Christianity. And now, Ted Cruz, his father is associated with that, Donna.
Yes.
Rafael Cruz. And ladies and gentlemen, our Bible says, in the last days, Donna, does it say that government would have a revival toward Jesus?
No.
Does it say that Hollywood and entertainment and all of the core areas of humanity would have a revival? Does it say that?
No, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible.
What do we read?
We read of a great falling away, even among believers, a great falling away. We read of governments that are going to come against their own people. We read of a world that's going to fall apart and rebuild itself as something evil, and its entire point is to control the earth. That is not a good thing.
2 Timothy 3, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, and unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. But, verse 5, Donna, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people turn away. So, this is going to come in the end times. There's going to be a great falling away. Jesus said in Matthew 24, be not deceived, because lawlessness will abound, or iniquity or sin will abound. As a result, the love of many will grow cold. So, iniquity is going to abound, Donna, and that means grow. Get stronger, overtake, overcome. There would be darkness in the end times. That's why the wise virgins needed the lamp. Because what do you use a lamp for, Donna?
To light your way.
Because it's dark.
Because it's dark.
And we can also find in that prophecy that it would be during the midnight hour. Now let's talk about Donald Trump. Donald Trump also has the influence and the support of the Kingdom Now crowd, the Dominionists.
Yes.
Lance Wallnau is one of the poster boys of the Kingdom Now movement that's a part of the C. Peter Wagner and Patricia King, Rick Joyner, that crowd, ladies and gentlemen. And Larry Wallnau is a big Trump supporter, and he said that God told him that Trump was Cyrus, that Trump's going to be a wrecking ball, and he's going to bring reform. Now let's talk about that, Donna. We can read about Cyrus in the book of Ezra and in Isaiah 44:28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. Those are prophecies about Cyrus being used by God when it was time to let the Hebrew captives free and send them back to Jerusalem so that the temple could be rebuilt and so that God's people would be freed. But that was after the captivity. The captivity had to happen first. And Donna, I noticed one of the things that's missing from the Kingdom Now theology is the understanding of judgment. They don't know what time it is. They do not get what time it is. And I noticed since 2008, they continue to make prophecies every year about how blessed America is going to be in the next year, 2009. I remember Kim Clement saying God was going to bless America, and he did it again in 2010 and 2011. And these people continue prophesying just the good. Peace, peace, all is well. While at the same time, America has been going into the dark hole of destruction, of perdition, of demise, of evil, of darkness. We're watching it happen in real time. So, ladies and gentlemen, either America is being judged or the Kingdom Now prophets, quote unquote, are correct and America has been under great blessing for the past 7 years. Which one is it? Well, we can now look back and see which one's true. And we see that Obama came and he was used as a scorpion and a sting to America. So the Kingdom Now prophets got it wrong. Lance Wallnau is saying that Donald Trump is Cyrus and he's the anointed one. And he's promoting him very strongly. So The Kingdom Now branch of the evangelicals is pushing for Donald Trump because they believe he's going to bring greatness to America. Listen to this.
I am here with a group of people that are praying for and encouraging Mr. Donald Trump. Because God has given this man an anointing for the mantle of government in the United States, and he will prosper.
I swear, the Lord tells me, bring your Bible to the board meeting. And I hadn't said anything yet. I've just been real quiet, you know. I'm only one of two white guys there in the whole meeting anyway. And there are three, including Trump's Jewish attorney, Michael Cohen. So Daryl goes, tell Mr. Trump what you said. So I get my Bible out. So the Lord told me, bring your Bible. And here's what I read to Mr. Trump. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations. I will go before you and make crooked places straight. Donald Trump's got this like Elijah mantle on him. He's got the Cyrus anointing. And he has a Cyrus anointing. So I told him, I said, you know, God is really watching over you. And I believe God's put his hand on you as a Cyrus.
Now, what is the conclusion in all of this? For those of you wondering out there if Nathan is against Donald Trump for the sake of messing up the election. Okay, Nathan, if you don't like Trump, are you telling us to vote for Hillary? Are you saying that Sanders or Hillary is better? Are you a Democrat? Someone asked me if I'm a Democrat. No, ladies and gentlemen, let me sum it up in this. The United States of America is in the pre-invasion years of Jerusalem. If we were to compare the United States to Jerusalem, and if we were to look in the book of Jeremiah, for 40 years, Jeremiah prophesied that Jerusalem was going to be overtaken by Babylon, and they were going to be taken away captive. Jeremiah wept, and for years he pleaded with them to turn, but they didn't do it. And then finally it happened. In Jeremiah 39, Nebuchadnezzar showed up. He overtook Jerusalem. The sword judgment arrived, and most of them died. The few that escaped hid in the mountains for a while. Most of them were either killed or taken prisoner, captives, to Babylon. And if Jeremiah was asked a few months before the arrival of Babylon, if Jeremiah was asked, hey, Jeremiah, is there a good choice coming? Is there a good way out of this? Jeremiah, through the Holy Spirit, through the voice of God, had to say what the truth was. And the truth was, there is no good remedy in this. Captivity's coming. Oppression's coming. Destruction is coming. So, ladies and gentlemen, some people are saying that I criticize Donald Trump or the other Republicans, Rubio, Cruz, and does that mean that I'm saying Hillary and Bernie are a better choice? None of them are going to rescue America. I am just explaining from the wall. I am explaining that Hillary and Bernie are the worst choice in the world. There's no way. That would be horrible. But for those that are thinking that Trump or Cruz or Rubio is going to give America a second chance, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. There are no second chances coming to America without repentance. If repentance does not take place, whether it's Donald Trump or Rubio or Cruz, America's done. We're going to see war. So I'm not criticizing Rubio and Cruz and Trump for the sake of just being negative. What I'm doing is I'm bringing reality to the table. I am showing the truth. I am showing the true colors. I'm showing the real part of these candidates. A lot of people are living in pretend right now. When we look at scripture, anytime we saw a judgment come to a land, when the prophets showed up, they told the people, hey, there's not going to be a good outcome of this. We're not going to get out of this. It's coming. And the people didn't want to hear it. They got mad. They said, yeah, but we have this king. Yeah, but we have good soldiers. Yeah, but we have a well-armed militia. The Ammonites can't defeat us. The Philistines can't defeat us. We are strong. And they depended on the arm of the flesh. And then we read later when the battles took place, they lost. And this is what I'm saying right now, folks. America's in trouble. We are in judgment. And we're not going to escape it. I know that Donald Trump seems exciting. I know that Donald Trump is bringing a lot of sensational hope. He speaks the right things. But I don't believe it, folks. I do not believe that this thing is going to be turned around. Now, if perchance enough people prayed, the church started praying and asking God for mercy, and the church repented, And if the church prayed for Donald Trump's heart, for his salvation, then maybe something could happen. Maybe. So if you were to ask me, Nathan, is there any hope? Do you see one glimmer of possibility or potential? Then let me say this, folks. If enough people stand in the gap for Donald Trump, pray for him to be radically saved and then to become a testimony for Jesus, I'm not talking about the fake lip service. I'm talking about the real thing. If he got saved and radically saved and he started preaching that America needed to have moral reform, then maybe the stay of execution could arrive. But aside from that, I don't see it happening. Now, I brought up the involvement of the Kingdom Now, Dominionist branch of the church, and the influence that they are doing to Ted Cruz and to Donald Trump. That influence can work in the negative. If Donald Trump becomes president and he picks Ted Cruz as his vice president, as that Pastor Larry Huck suggested in the video, then the Dominionist Kingdom Now theology and influence could work to cause Donald Trump to believe that he is Cyrus and he's supposed to bulldoze nations. One of those Kingdom Now preachers, Lance Wellnow, believes that Trump is a wrecking ball, is going to be a wrecking ball on the planet. So will Trump become a conqueror because he is being influenced that he is somehow the anointed one to go do that and therefore take America into war to grab the wealth of the rest of the world to make America great? Is that possible? I guess we'll see. So these are the things that I'm concerned about, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't bring these things lightly. I don't bring them as a matter of fact. I bring it with grief. I bring it with concern. I bring it with regret. But this is what time it is, folks. And we're not going to get out of it. So here's the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen. If you feel that you have to vote, that you must vote, because you want to at least be able to say, hey, I at least did it. If you go Democrat, you're going to get a communist, Bernie. But he's a communist, a socialist, and he's not going to win. His policies are absurd. He wants to continue Obamacare and
free college for everyone.
Yeah, free college. And yeah, the tax burden is going to increase a lot higher under him. Forget the Democrat vote, Donna, right? So if a listener is asking, so I have to vote on one of them, Nathan. Which one? Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot tell you who to vote for. If you were to tell me and write back and say, Nathan, I know that none of them are perfect, but I want to pick the one that at least is not as evil as Bernie. Or if some of the things I said about Donald Trump alarmed you, and so if you want to, you're thinking, well, I would rather have someone else instead of Trump. Here's what will happen, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what I think. If Trump gets elected, he is a maverick, and while he may not be playing exactly by the rules of the globalists or imply that he's not, I think that he is. Behind the scenes, I believe that he is. But if he's not, let's give him the benefit of the doubt for a moment. If he is not, then what that tells me is then he is walking in the shoes of what we saw Hitler do. Because Hitler came in as his own man. Hitler had his own ideas. He was going to change everything. So that is even scarier, Donna. If Donald Trump is not an elite globalist, he's going to do it his own way. And that is terrifying.
But I would say that this year's election, there is no winning choice. Period. There just isn't. We're not going to win no matter who's in office. It is only going to get worse. I would say that either one is a punishment.
Now, if someone were to put us on the spot, Donna, and say, I'm not letting you go. I'm tying you up. You have to at least tell me, give me the best through the worst. At least give me that. Okay. In my opinion, I believe Trump is the scariest. So no way for Trump.
Yeah, he's terrifying.
Okay. So now we have Cruz with his wife being a globalist. We have Mario with New American Century. And we have Kasich who wants to break Iraq into three parts, which shows he's also a New American Century candidate. So those three, I would think that they're going to be pretty much the same, Donna. So the final one is Carson. So not knowing a lot about Carson and seeing that he has low energy, I don't know.
He seems meek, but it's hard to say.
I don't know. So if someone were to tell you, Donna, you can't come out of the room until you tell us the worst through the not as worst. Is that pretty much the list? Carson
yeah.
Is the least, maybe. So based on this summary,
I have no suggestion for you. None. And in my heart of hearts, Donna, I think I'm going to have to sit it out where I am right now.
I'm just going to sit back and get some popcorn and watch the show.
Now, I have a feeling you're going to be missing for an hour or two on election day, and I'm going to say, where'd you go? And you'll say, I went to the post office. And, oh, why are you wearing that pin, Donna? What did you do? You're going to vote anyway, aren't you?
I haven't decided.
So you would vote for one of these, maybe?
Well, I'm not voting in the primary. I am registered as a constitutional party, so I don't get to vote for the Republican primary. So the only time I would get to vote would be the Republican versus Democrat scenario. And so I don't know. How scared am I going to be by Bernie? Or if it, in the unlikely case it could be Hillary, how scared am I going to be about that? I guess not scared, but how
concerned?
You know, concerned. Is it going to be enough concern to make me go to the polls and vote Republican, whoever the candidate may be?
Even though you know that whichever Republican wins, we know what we're getting. We're getting the PNAC policy, a continuation back to the wars in the Middle East and potentially war with Russia, war with Iran. Even though you know that, Hillary and Bernie is scarier, though.
It's unfathomable that either one of those people could be our president. It's kind of like if you had to choose between Russia and Germany.
Invading us?
Invading us, yes.
Which one do you pick? Or how about this? If America becomes Sharia law versus Russia invades us?
Exactly. That's kind of how it feels to me. And
pick your poison?
I think I'd pick Russia.
You'd pick Putin?
Yeah, I think I would over Sharia law, yes.
Okay, now that brings up a good point. Donna, we know what time it is. We know we're under judgment, and the judgment has four categories.
Yes.
Famine, pestilence, evil, and
the sword.
Which is?
War.
Okay, so if we believe that we're in judgment, and we know we're in judgment, then is it meant to be that any of those Republicans could win, Donna, and they're supposed to win so that
they could bring war?
To bring the sword judgment, because we have it coming.
Yes, it's very possible.
So whoever people vote for, if it brings war, then they're voting for their own chastisement. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, now, if I'm wrong, I'll repent. I say that often, but I mean it. I will. But if I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But I believe that the next part of the judgment is going to be the sword. And, well, we haven't seen pestilence running rampant yet. For sure, we're seeing the famine.
Zika's coming. Our pestilence seems to come in small doses. We haven't had one that really takes over everybody.
Well, Fukushima. Fukushima's probably leaking on us constantly right now.
Well,
and
yeah,
we don't even know it.
But we've had, you know, we had the scare for Ebola. We had a little bit of that in this.
The swine flu.
The swine flu. We get little bits, like little tastes of what's coming right now in the South. They're saying the Zika virus is going to reach the South of the United States.
So that's the pestilence.
I think it's going to get bigger. It's going to get worse. These are just a taste of it.
Okay, so the fourfold, Donna, famine, that's the economic crisis. We've been in that since 2008.
Yes.
How many people are without work? 30%, 40%? Who knows? That one's easy. We know that, famine. And then we have pestilence is in the makings.
Mm-hmm.
Evil, the release of evil over the land.
Yes.
For sure. Darkness and evil, that one's happening.
Yes.
But the sword hasn't really arrived yet. So the sword, since we haven't repented, that's next. So it doesn't really matter who wins, does it?
No. And I have to say, I think the evil spirits plays a part in Islam invading our country.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, in summary, ask God. But I can't tell you what to do. And I don't even know what my wife's going to do. She's pretty rebellious over here saying that she's going to pick someone because she doesn't want Hillary. Donna, I didn't know this. You're going to sneak out and vote for Cruz? Really? Or Rubio?
I don't know yet.
Wow. Okay. And if that's what she does, well, I guess that's what she does, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know. I guess we might be getting ahead of ourselves because out of the six, five are going to drop out. Or maybe four would drop out because we'll have the front runner and then one would be chosen as the vice president. So anyway, I shared more information on there. You take that, take it to God and pray about it. But moving forward, Donna, when I had my elephant dream a few years ago, I saw elephants that were running. I was on a freeway, a two-lane freeway. I was in the right lane. And in front of me, I saw that there was a big hole in the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like the concrete had been gathered around it so that it was like a crater. It was big enough for a car to fall into.
So I was in my car and I changed lanes, went around it. And when I went around it, I slowed my speed down to a nominal speed. And then instantly on the right, elephants appeared in the right lane and they were holding each other's tails, walking, and they had red blankets on them. And then something scared them and they started running alongside me. They were running about 35 miles an hour and I could hear them trumpeting. You know, the blast that they do, they were afraid. They were panicking. And then the exit ramp showed up and they started going into the exit ramp. And there were like 30 of them, 40 of them. I'm not sure how many, but they were all leaving the exit ramp. And then the dream was over. And over the last few years, I've struggled with that one. I didn't know what it meant. But in trying to dissect it and understand it, on the surface, what do we have? A two-lane system, left, right, the right wing, conservatives. So the right was the right wing. The left was the left wing. I was in the right lane, and there was a big hole. So the right wing was fractured.
Yes, broken.
The road of the Republican Party is going to be broken. Now, has that already happened? We haven't really seen it to the point where...
In some ways it has.
A little bit. There's been a little bit of a fracture.
Well, look, we won in the Senate, but our right side has failed us time and time again, purposely failed us. So is there a big hole in the Republican Party where they're not really doing what they're supposed to be? There's a big hole in the road.
Yes. Now, when I went around them because I was trying to get past it, the elephants appeared. Those were for sure Republicans. They were walking in line, and they were holding each other's tails at first, like in a circus. So they were walking in cooperation.
Yes.
So after the fracturing, they're still cooperating.
Right.
But then something spooked them, and they started running and trumpeting. And as they were running...
That's interesting. They were trumpeting.
Yeah, that is, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is. They had red blankets on their backs.
Mm-hmm.
And as I have been trying to research that...
Those are elephants of war, aren't they?
Yes, they are. If we look back at history, India had elephants of war and several nations in the past in history. The blankets were red and they wore armor. So are these war elephants? Are these war Republicans? Is the reason they get spooked related to them being in war? Is it because of some event that has to do with war? That's one of the things I wonder about. I don't know. But then they exited. They all left the right lane. So
they went even further right.
They went even further right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does that mean? When you have a political ideology go far, far right, you start getting into what? Fascism.
Yes.
That's what Hitler did.
Yes.
It went far right. So this is, let me just mention this for the record, Donna. I believe this was a prophecy from God. It was prophetic. So this is what we're going to see happen. We're going to see a fracturing in the Republican Party where it's going to do damage to their reputation, but the fracturing is going to be big enough that it's going to spook them. It's going to scare them. It's going to be involved with war, and they're going to go far right. So what could do that? And also, Donna, they were trumpeting. Is that a prophecy about Donald Trump? Is that a hint?
Wow.
Let's just let it be for the record. I don't know. I don't know if the trumpeting was because they were afraid. But see, if Republicans are afraid, the trumpeting meant that they were sounding out. They were screaming. So what are they screaming about?
Well, in your dream, there was a hole, and then you get to the other side, and they all start cooperating. Well, they're not cooperating right now. So something's going to happen that makes them all cooperate and trumpet.
Indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, does that mean that Trump's going to win? You know, that's when Trump started becoming a front runner. I went back and looked at my dream, and I have it on my website, and it says in there that they were trumpeting. So is that a prophecy about Trump? And then the other thing, you know, I noticed this, Donna, and others have also noticed this. We've had people now saying it on Facebook, and I've received a few emails. It's pretty easy. If you're a Christian, you know what the Bible says, at the last trump. The trumpet will sound at the last trump. It says it twice in that verse. So was that God kind of throwing a hint?
I've wondered about that also.
So what are God's people supposed to do? What is our charge? What is our responsibility? What is our duty? Well, ladies and gentlemen, our job is to maintain our walk with Jesus. And your job is to maintain your walk with Jesus and to strengthen it, to get closer to Him, to get acquainted with Him, to become familiar with His voice and His Word, to get familiar with prayer and worship, spending time with Him. I know that some of this information can be heavy, can maybe even feel overwhelming or frustrating, because some of you really, really want to see hope in America and I understand that. But folks, I'm sorry. Our only hope is going to be in Jesus. And hope for this nation, it's been ignored. The potential for salvation for this nation has been ignored. The potential for rescue has been ignored. Nathan, Donald Trump's going to make America great. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible tells us that we cannot trust in the arm of the flesh. Those who trust in chariots and in the strong legs of horses are trusting in vain. And I'm up on this wall to bring the truth. And if you are a remnant believer in Jesus, if you know him, let these words bear witness. Pray about the things that you've heard me share. Pray about the election. Pray about what you need to do. And I don't share these things so that you will just stay home or quit on election day or so that you won't know what to do. Ask God, let him guide you, let him direct you. And while America is celebrating the victory of their candidates, we need to be seeking him. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm running out of time now. I'm going to stop with that. Thanks for listening to this program, and I appreciate all of you that are out there, those of you that have sent encouraging letters, emails. We appreciate them, and keep them coming, folks. Let us know what you think about this program. And if you appreciate what we're doing, we appreciate and we depend on your support. Our address is Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. Or you can go to our website at watchmanscry.com and contact us there. So with that, stay safe. Stay plugged into God. Stay vigilant. Stay in the Word. Stay focused. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.